You're listening to Missing and Murdered Women, a podcast. This is Coda, and I am a woman who has always been interested in the psychology behind crimes, and what makes a person likely to commit a crime, and what can lead a person to fall victim. I studied psychology in college and attempted a minor in criminal justice. I am by no means an expert in criminal justice or criminal psychology. I didn't even complete my degree. But I have never gotten over my fascination with true crime and wanting to help give a voice to people who have been silenced. I have found my niche in crimes that target women, especially once I learned that 1 in 3 women is likely to fall victim of intimate partner violence or sexual violence. I am not the only one who found this statistic to be shocking, as the World Health Organization called violence against women a world health crisis. With all of that being said, this week I am telling the story of a teen mom who went missing just 20 minutes away from my own home after attending a party, leaving her family to hope for over a decade for the return of their daughter, sister, and mother. In 2017, 17-year-old Paige Melissa Johnson was living in Florence, Kentucky with her family. This was her mother, her sister Brittany, and her 2-year-old daughter Mackenzie. Paige was described as a happy and fun girl and a social butterfly. Despite having dropped out of nearby Simon Kenton High School in Independence and being a teen mom, Paige still had a very healthy social life. It was a warm day, still in the middle of the summer heat in late September, when Paige left her mother's home with an acquaintance, 22-year-old Jacob Bumpus. They were going to attend a party. She would never be seen by her friends or family again. Jacob reported that after the party around 1 a.m., he dropped her off near Scott Boulevard and 15th Street in Covington, although it was unclear why, and he never elaborated or gave a reason as to why she would not go home. In fact, she never made it back home. When her sister, Brittany Haywood, noticed she hadn't returned the next morning, she called police to report Paige missing. From the beginning, police took her disappearance seriously, as no one would believe the young mother would run away and leave her young daughter behind. If Paige was missing, something serious must have happened. This was not an unlikely outcome, since there were upwards of 250 crimes reported in Covington the month that Paige went missing. Police turned to Jacob for more answers and eventually pulled his phone records. Despite claiming to have dropped her off in Covington around 1 a.m., Jacob's phone was pinging off cell towers 20 minutes away near Paige's mother's home in Florence. In fact, according to his phone records, he never went to Covington at all that night. 3.5 hours later, Bumpus's phone pinged in East Fork State Park near Claremont County, Ohio. This gave authorities a starting point to search for Paige, even though it was 40 minutes away from where Bumpus claimed to have dropped her off. When Bumpus was asked, he claimed he'd gone up there to fish after his night of drinking and partying. A likely story, as everyone knows the best time to go fishing is 3 hours before the sun comes out, when you've already been out all night. East Fork State Park is known as having varied terrain of both open meadows and rugged hills, as well as being swampy in some areas, and is nearly 5,000 acres in total. Despite it being a place where people do go fishing, as someone from the area, I can say that the park is known to have dirty water and often has water quality warnings that make it unsafe to swim, so it is not most people's first choice. Police centered their search around the phone tower where Bumpus's phone pinged, searching up to a half mile south of the tower, but nothing came of this initial search. Despite being the last person to claim to have seen her alive, police have never named Jacob Bumpus a suspect in Paige's disappearance. However, his phone logs did show one more thing of note. He and Paige were in constant communication up to September 23, 2010, the day after she disappeared, but then he never reached out to her again. Bumpus was on parole for a theft charge when Paige disappeared, and after admitting to providing her with alcohol, he was sent to prison for a parole violation in November of 2010 and served 2 years. He also stopped cooperating with law enforcement. Searches for Paige became fewer and far between as there was less credible leads in the years after her death, but law enforcement in Covington and the neighboring areas never stopped looking or let the case go cold, treating every tip like it was the one that could bring Paige home. 2 years after her disappearance, police returned to East Fork with a search crew and searched the William H. Harshaw Lake, which spans more than 2,000 acres. 100 additional searchers also rode horses and ATVs to search the surrounding area. Neither of these searches turned up any new evidence or information. That same year, police received an anonymous call from a man claiming that he knew where Paige was buried, because he had helped to conceal her remains in Knox County, Kentucky, roughly 3 hours from where Bumpus claimed to have dropped her off. Police ended up excavating an area comparable to an Olympic-sized swimming pool, but the lead was ultimately not credible. Police also searched local wells in the Covington and Latonia areas. In 2013, police conducted a search of DeVue Park in Covington, just minutes from where Jacob claimed to have last seen Paige, but once again nothing was found. This park became the place where family would gather around every year to remember Paige and hope for her return, or at least closure. In the 10 years since her disappearance, Paige's family has done many different things to honor her memory, including releasing lanterns and holding vigils every year. Brittany Haywood, her sister, also planted a tree in her memory at DeVue Park, and Paige's cousin Allison reached out to social media, creating a website called WhatHappenedToPaigeJohnson.com and an accompanying Facebook page of the same name. This page has been followed by over 6,000 people since its creation on the day after Paige's disappearance. Paige's father and grandmother both passed before they could receive any answers as to what happened to her, and her daughter Mackenzie has had to grow up without a mother in the care of her father. However, the family has not been exactly helpless. They know someone knows something about what happened to Paige that night, and they can't keep it a secret forever. In 2015, Brittany Haywood gave an interview about her sister's disappearance and had the following to say. She didn't deserve what happened to her, and Jacob Bumpus and one of his close friends know exactly what happened to her and yet refuse to come forward. I know there are other people who know what happened to my sister that night 5 years ago, and how they sleep at night is baffling to me. This year, in 2020, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children was gearing up to take over the search, partnering with an investigator from Washington, D.C., to search for new clues and lend fresh eyes. The disappearance was also the subject of the Vanished podcast this year, renewing awareness of Paige's case. Nearly a decade after Paige went missing, the wife of a hunter in Claremont County placed a call to 911. She said, "My husband was in the woods, deer shed hunting, and he came across, he swears up and down, it's a human skull." Authorities searched the area and collected the skull along with a few more remains and sent them to the Hamilton County Coroner's Office on Sunday, March 22nd. The skull appeared to have been burned, but the coroner was able to identify it using dental records. After nearly 10 years, Paige's body was found just a mile and a half north of where police initially searched around the cell tower in 2010. Due to the open investigation, police have not released a cause of death. Police didn't stop there, returning to look for more evidence. "There's a lot of vegetation, and it's very muddy. It's swamp-like. I mean, it's just a nasty area for these guys to get through. But we're making progress," one of the search leaders said. The Kentucky Commonwealth attorney said that Paige's remains were absolutely necessary in bringing charges. No defense attorney could argue she made it out there of her own volition and ended up being set ablaze. While it's not the outcome anyone hoped for, now the family is one step closer to justice in finding the people who took away their sister, daughter, and mother. Theories about what happened to Paige and who was responsible have only ramped up since the discovery of her remains. Some folks believe Paige overdosed at the party she was at, and her friends panicked, hiding her body. Other theories are much worse, including first-degree murder by a spurned lover. Either way, the clock is ticking for those who are responsible and those who have helped keep her whereabouts a secret all these years. Now that Paige's remains have been discovered a decade after her family lost her, her cousin Allison Franks has organized a GoFundMe for funeral expenses, once the investigation is over and she's returned to her family. It can be found at gofundme.com/f/bring-page-johnson-home, and that will be linked in the show notes. Allison wrote in the description, "We are hoping to find a large location to have any and all family, friends, and followers present to remember her, mourn her tragedy, and celebrate her life. Details of the service location and date to follow after we learn more from the investigation." Anyone with information is asked to call the Covington Police Department at 859-292-2222, or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 800-843-5678. Thanks so much for listening to the first episode of Missing and Murdered Women about the disappearance and murder of Paige Johnson. I hope you join me on this journey to tell the stories of women who have had their voices taken from them. New episodes come out every Saturday. In the meantime, you can reach out with comments, suggestions, or corrections to @themmwpod on Twitter or Instagram, or email me directly at missingandmurderedwomenpodcast@gmail.com. Sources are cited in the show notes, as well as sources for music, and links to all of the show's social media accounts. If you like the podcast, share it with your friends or leave us a review. Stay safe and come back next week.